only are we talking the talk at APHA, but we're walking the walk. So if everyone could stand up and just do a quick 15-second stretch. All right, great. Thank you. How'd that feel? Good. So I was really happy to see that the food and nutrition section was sponsoring a session specifically on physical activity opportunities and changing organizational practices and policies to create healthier environments, because our communities are making it really difficult to be physically active. So take this scenario, for instance, where these poor members of the 24-hour fitness can't even walk up the stairs to go to the gym. They have to take the escalator. And this cartoon from Bizarro, this vacationing couple says, "I could never live here. I haven't seen a single fitness club since we arrived." So we're really engineering physical activity out of our daily lives. And all kidding aside, you know, I think it's really important to note that the places where we live and where we work and where we play and where we learn, these communities aren't created equally. And there are some real disparities. For instance, in some communities, it can be precarious and dangerous to walk along narrow sidewalks with cars whizzing by. And oftentimes residents want to be physically active, and they're being physically active in environments that are literally toxic. And also, fear of violence can keep people indoors, and children are discouraged rather than encouraged from playing in their own neighborhoods. And to me, this is unacceptable. It's critical that we as public health professionals, no matter what our role is within public health, is working to make sure that the messages that we're giving people, that the environments where people live, are really supporting that. And I really like, when I say that, I like to share this quote from the Institute of Medicine, that it is unreasonable to expect that people will change their behavior easily when there are so many forces in the social, cultural, and physical environment that conspire against such change. And that's one of the reasons Prevention Institute, actually on behalf of the Strategic Alliance for Healthy Food and Activity Environments, which is a statewide coalition here in California that we staff, that's really the reason we created Enact, is we really wanted to provide people with achievable strategies for improving food and activity environments at the local level, and particularly with an eye towards socially and economically disadvantaged communities. I'm going to walk you through the tool a little bit. So this is what you would see if you were on the homepage of Enact. And as you'll see, there's seven key local environments we focus on. We focus on childcare, school, after school, community, workplace, healthcare, and government. And within each of those settings, we offer a menu of strategies for improving food and activity environments. So I'm going to take childcare for an example. And as you'll see, there's 8 childcare food and activity strategies. I should also say that when we were developing the tool, we did a lot of research to look to both towards sort of what the research and evidence told us, but also looking at community wisdom and what, you know, people working at the local level have known for years can really influence people's behaviors around eating and activity. We vetted these strategies with the steering committee of our statewide coalition, Strategic Alliance, and also have formed a national advisory group that have helped us to really make sure that the strategies that we have up here are the most promising strategies. So now that you're here at the childcare food and activity strategy page, let's say you wanted to learn more about 1, providing regular opportunities for physical activity and play. If you click on that strategy, it then takes you to a page with a wide range of different resources for implementation. The top of the page sort of describes the strategy for you. It goes on to provide some characteristics of what that would look like if it was fully implemented. And then as you were to scroll down the page, there's programs which really highlight case studies, tools for implementation, policies, which links to our Enact local policy database, which I'll talk about in a second, a list of organizations and coalitions that are working very specifically on this strategy. And when it exists, we've also included links to evidence-based research. And our staff is constantly working to update, enhance the tool, making sure that the resources reflected here are strong resources and that it's really up to date. Now, I want to click back for a second because another really exciting part about Enact is that it has an interactive component. So we're back at the Child Care Food and Activity page, and you'll notice that on the left you can enter in a priority for high, medium, or low priority and current status. Is this something that's already implemented or hasn't been implemented at all? So one is this is not implemented at all in our child care settings versus number five is this is fully implemented. And basically, when we developed the tool, groups really wanted to be able to use it to begin a conversation for how to set priorities for what to work on. If they're, you know, either they might be a coalition working specifically in one of the settings, like schools or workplaces, or perhaps it's a coalition that's working on a broad range of different, on work in a lot of these different areas. It might be that a school setting, a school task force is working to improve food and activity environments. So basically what you can do is you can sign in for a free user account, and let's say we were the San Diego Get Active Coalition. As the first person, I would sign up on my group as the Get Active Coalition, and every other person that signs in puts that name of that coalition, and then Enact compiles the results. And that can then be the starting point for what are we going to work on together. And it's been really neat. For one group that's recently used it is the Pinellas County. The Health Department was organizing an intergovernmental task force to look at improving food and activity for the workforce working in county government. And they had people working in all different departments fill it out. And then that was sort of the starting point for them to figure out what were they going to work on in Pinellas County. The other tool I mentioned was our Enact Local Policy Database, and this is the homepage for that. As you'll see on the left, there's a search bar where you can either do a simple search where you enter in any word you'd like, or you can search by one of our pre-selected areas such as topic, either nutrition or activity, Enact environment, which is those seven environments I talked about. You can select from a list of keywords. You can search by state, and I should say when we first started this tool, it was primarily a California resource, but we now have some resources to make it a national tool, so we're including policies from across the country. You can select jurisdictions such as city, county, school district, board of health, and year that the policy passed. So let's say you have these search results here, and I wanted to learn more about agreement for community programs and joint facility use in San Carlos, California, which is the second policy on the list. So if I clicked on that, it then brings me to a page that has some information about that policy. So you'll see some pretty basic information at the top of the page. We have some basic information about the policy, a synopsis, a description that goes into a little bit more detail. If you were to scroll down, we've written a piece about the health implications because some of the policies it's very clear that how it impacts healthy eating and activity, but some of them, you know, people might want a description to share with a local elected official or something like that. And as you scroll down, the most exciting part I think is that it links to the actual policy language. So that if you're interested in working on a policy in your community and you're working with a coalition or you want to bring something to your elected official, it's not about starting from scratch. It's saying, hey, look, this is what San Carlos did. Do you think we could do something like that here? And that was a real interest when we developed Enact. People then wanted, once people were like, yes, we want to work on organizational practice and policy change, people really wanted this, you know, type of resource so that rather than starting from scratch each time, they could really build on what's already happening across the country as we're seeing more communities pass policies. Now, it looks like a bunch of you want to run for the nearest computer lab to go check out the tool yourself, right? Like, you don't even want to stay through these next two presentations. But I've heard that the next couple of presentations are really good. So, rather than that, I just wanted to give you a sneak peek of a couple things you would find on Enact. And then you can feel free after the session is over, after we've heard from our last two presenters, you can go find some Wi-Fi. One of the strategies in ENACT is providing regular opportunities for physical activity and play in children's settings. And one of the policies that I really like is from New York, and this is featured in both the database and on ENACT. And their Board of Health amended the health code to include guidelines and requirements for both nutrition and activity for all public and privately licensed daycare facilities. I won't go into the nutrition pieces, but you know, there were some pieces on the activity side about requiring outdoor play and what that means in inclement weather, because we know New York, you can't always play outdoors. There were requirements for regular structured and unstructured play in the daycare settings, and also requiring providers to document that. And also, I think very importantly and often forgotten, there were some guidelines around television viewing and requiring that to children under the age of two, they not be watching television during the daycare day. And for children older than two, there was like a certain amount of time, I think like 60 minutes of educational television watching or something like that. So this is something, if you know your locale wanted to adopt, it would be neat to look at what New York City had already done. Another example, this is one of our strategies on ENACT, is promoting an atmosphere of safety. And this example is from Kern County, California, which is in the Central Valley and is a rural community. And we actually recently developed a set of profiles for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation on grassroots organizations that are, or coalitions that are effective in policy change. And this was one of the 11 coalitions from across the country we profiled and will soon be available on ENACT. And they really, it was neat. This started out as a group of moms who met in a nutrition education class and said, you know, let's start a walking club to really encourage, you know, each other to be physically active. And so they started walking in their neighborhood and really pretty quickly realized there were some big policy implications for the walkability of their neighborhood, and worked with Get Moving Kern to particularly look at their park, where there was a lot of illicit activity happening in the park. It wasn't very walkable and safe. The lights were burned out, and the paths weren't very, weren't paved very well. And so they were able to work with elected officials to do an assessment of their community walkability, and have been able to make some pretty significant policy changes to address safety concerns, both as it relates to unintentional injury, you know, things like traffic accidents or falls, and also intentional injury, community violence, and those types of things. Another example is encouraging employees to use alternative forms of transportation. In Santa Monica, they have a policy requiring employees with more than 50 employees to pay into an annual transportation fund, and that can be reduced if the employer offers alternative or incentives for alternative forms of transportation to employees. And also promoting joint use of recreational facilities. This is where schools and often cities, parks and recreation departments or other departments within government enter into agreements to share sort of the cost and liability of operating school facilities outside of school hours. Oftentimes, in many communities, schools are the only places for people to be active, and those places often shut down after 3 o'clock. So this is a real strategy to keep those places open. And here in California, with the Strategic Alliance, we have a joint use task force, which has really taken on that issue to figure out how to make sure that once these policies are in place, they're actually implemented. So again, I really want to encourage all of you, no matter what field you work in, even if you're not advocating for local policy, we are all part of institutions or organizations, and those changes can often be just as important as ensuring the health and well-being for our colleagues. And most importantly, don't expect politicians, even good ones, to do your job for you. Politicians are like weather vanes, and our job is to make the wind blow. I wanted to just let you know that our resources are available for free on our website at preventioninstitute.org. We're also selling our textbook, Prevention is Primary, at the Josie Bass booth, including a chapter on local policy by Makani Thamba Nixon and one on health and the built environment by Howard Frumkin and Andrew Dannenberg. And also, you know, it's a little hard to be here during this time talking very specifically about health when we're in such an economic crisis. So I did want to mention that while there's been a lot of talk recently about stimulating the economy and reinventing Main Street, Prevention Institute is really dedicated to making sure that, you know, any investment in stimulating our economy includes a look at what the long-term health of our community and our workforce. And we're going to be developing some materials in the next few weeks. And if you're interested in learning more, please feel free to give me your card before you leave here today or sign up for more information at our booth at number 1014. Thank you.
Okay. Our next speaker is going to be Lisa Searle, and she's going to be introducing her colleague who's sharing the presentation with her. They'll be talking about using parks to bridge diverse communities and enhance health, the California experience. Lisa is the acting chief of the California Center for Physical Activity, which is within the California Department of Public Health. The center promotes everyday physical activity through environmental and policy change. Lisa is also the president-elect of the National Society of Physical Activity Practitioners in Public Health and the acting chair-elect of the APHA Physical Activity Special Interest Group. Lisa.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, we're going to have a brief moment with me, and then I'm going to turn it over to the expert. What we're talking about today is, what we're going to talk about today is really partnering.